Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those are circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
1390, first trial for witchcraft in Paris. It's the only witch theme that I have. So there was somebody that was charged in Paris for being 1390.
1390. Well, was that Joan of Arc?
Yes. Known for being skilled in divination and finding lost objects, she was taken into custody because her and somebody else were exchanging recipes for love potions. Jeanette de Brugge, it was the woman's name.
Oh, Jeanette de Brugge, not Joan of Arc.
No, Joan of Arc.
Okay.
She appealed to the Parliament in Paris, which decreed that she'd be tortured to find out the full truth. And under torture, she named an accomplice. She was tortured as well, and both women were burned to death in August of 1391. Oh, there's the ending theme there. Yeah, so that was the first witchcraft trial that ever happened in Paris, 1390. Let's see here.
I knew about Joan of Arc, but I wasn't aware of that one.
That was an early one. 1919, President Wilson's veto of prohibition enforcement bill is overridden. The Volstead Act was passed by the U.S. Congress, which established prohibition despite the president's veto, and that moved forward for how many years now was that?
What year was it?
1919.
Let's see, 29, about 14 years.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it. 1947, early national attention to trick-or-treating was given in October.
Now, be careful what term you use.
Okay. It was a children's magazine called Jack and Jill and Children's Activities, and by Halloween episodes, there was Halloween episodes of the network radio programs, including the Baby Snook Show in 1946, the Jack Benny Show, Ozzie and Harriet, that all talked about the kids going around door-to-door with their costumes looking for candy. It had become a firmly established tradition of pop culture by 1952 when Walt Disney portrayed it in the cartoon Trick or Treat. Ozzie and Harriet were also besieged by trick-or-treaters on an episode of their television show, and UNICEF first conducted a national campaign for children to raise funds for the charity while trick-or-treating. So it all kind of happened around the early 1950s.
Okay, well,
the kids were trick-or-treating officially,
yeah,
more
right.
Nationwide.
Dad told me that they would go out and just kind of goof around, he and his friends, really make, you know, do any damage or anything like that, but they would, you know, but that was, you know, one of those things that led up to what we now see as trick or treat.
That's true.
And, as again, like I said, we would come home with bags full of candy.
Of course. It's funny. My kids, you know, I think they know now that when they dump everything on the floor and they're separating their favorites, they grab enough to last them a month or so, you know, and they keep some of their favorites in there, but I mean, they just take a small portion of it. And then we do this every year. Every single year, my daughter and I go to the USO and we donate the candy at O'Hare Airport. And because there's a lot of travel, especially around the holidays with people coming back and forth. So, you know, they can take a handful when they go to the USO room while they're waiting for their flight or whatever.
Yeah,
they do that. It's very cool. Love doing that. 1938, I'm going to step back in time a little bit. October 30th, Orson Welles panics the USA with the broadcast of War of the Worlds. And people who jumped in to the radio obviously, Dave, thought it was a real news broadcast and we were being invaded by
aliens.
That's
what happened, yeah.
Let's take a little listen to that.
We now return you to Carl Phillips at Grover's Mill.
Ladies and gentlemen, am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that adjoins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. More state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain's conferring with someone. Can't quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I can see it now. It's a white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truce. Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute. Something's happening. A humped shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames. Ah! Now the whole field's caught up by the woods, the barns, the gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking at a dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude.
I'm quite surprised that the H.G. Wells classic, which is the original for many fantasies about invasions by mythical monsters from the planet Mars. I'm extremely surprised to learn that a story which has become familiar to children through the medium of comic strips and many succeeding novels and adventure stories should have had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
So, I mean, if you listen to that and just jump into that and knew what radio was all about and newscasts were all about back then, it just sounded like a normal news story, unless you were there from the, even if you were there from the beginning, because they broke in like it was a news story.
Yeah, they did. You know, the amazing thing, Dave, is that Orson Welles was 24 when they did this.
That's something.
And even if you tuned in, you know, if you missed his introduction, if you missed the introduction to the broadcast, which, you know, had the sponsorship and everything else, you know, at the beginning of the show, even if you tuned into what was the little musical number that they were playing before the first news bulletins, it would still sound like they were breaking into that format.
Yeah, it did.
So, you know, it didn't take it, you know, they got underway quite a bit, but if you were 5 minutes late,
yeah,
well, you missed it.
Yeah, and it made the headlines too. That he was able to do this. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
1954, Walt Disney's first television program, Disneyland, premiered on ABC. Let's take a little listen to that very first show.
From one of the world's most gifted motion picture creators comes Disneyland, whose wondrous portals open to Adventureland, Tomorrowland, Frontierland, and Fantasyland. Fantasyland, where even elephants can fly, and little boys understand the simple language of the animals they love. Tomorrowland, taking you on miraculous trips to outer space, far beyond the orbits mankind has reached today. Adventureland, bringing you exciting stories of man's exploits and of the animals Walt Disney loves so well. Frontierland, where men of the mountains and men of the plains...
So really, you know, this ended up being kind of a promotional vehicle, obviously, for Disney itself, talking about all the different places you could go.
Yeah. You said this was on ABC.
It's on ABC.
Wasn't the Wide World of Color on NBC?
It was. It was Disney, Walt Disney. It was probably the longest period of time in the 1960s to the 70s. The traditional, wonderful world of Disney was on NBC.
Right.
And then it eventually returned over to ABC when they bought Disney.
Ah, okay.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
1960, Muhammad Ali's first professional fight, but he was known as Cassius Clay at the time, and he beat his opponent in six rounds. 1966, October 27th. 51 years ago, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown debut.
Can I have an extra piece of candy for my stupid brother? He couldn't come with us because he's sitting in a pumpkin patch, waiting for the Great Pumpkin. It's so embarrassing to have to ask for something extra for that blockhead Linus. Pieces of candy. I got a chocolate bar. I got a quarter. I got a rock.
There we go. I got
I'm
a rock.
I'm always waiting for that line.
That's my favorite. I got to watch that this week with the kids. That's a blast.
For your celebration of orange and black.
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it. 2012, Walt Disney purchases Lucasfilm.
Luke Skywalker was just a farm boy until he received a mysterious message from a princess.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
She's beautiful.
Star Wars, starring Mark Hamill.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Harrison Ford.
Boring conversation anyway. Luke, we're gonna have company! I think we took a wrong turn.
Carrie Fisher.
Good luck.
Alec Guinness.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
20th Century Fox presents the most extraordinary motion picture of all time, Star Wars.
Here's where the fun begins.
No legendary adventure of the past could be as exciting as this romance of the future.
Here they come.
May the Force be with you in Star Wars.